Word of mouth.
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 Mouth. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. When Dr. Seuss's pea soup Grinch stood at the top of Mount Crumpet and looked down at Whoville, he marveled at the nature of Christmas. He had taken all of the Who's presents away, their stockings, their trees, their ornaments, and yet Christmas came anyway. It came without ribbons, he said. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. As the Grinch discovered, Christmas, like all the other wintry holidays, isn't really about gifts. But let's be honest, December 25th does tend to come with ribbons, tags, packages, boxes, and bags. Abundantly, and often all at once. So today on Word of Mouth, it's the gift show. Not your ordinary laundry list of what and what not to buy, but an exploration of presents, past and future. I'm here today as a little gift to our usual host, Virginia, who is here today, technically, but has sadly lost her voice. Say hi, Virginia.
Hi.
I'll just take it from here, okay?
Thank you so much. There's a gift of the Magi message here, losing my voice as a radio host.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we taped most of these interviews earlier this week. Anyway, we're beginning the show with those treasured rags of youth, the ones that arrive in your mailbox filled with pages upon pages of gadgets and toys. Even among the glittering and cozy wares in most magazines, one stands out, the Neiman Marcus Christmas book. It offers the luxurious, the fantastic, and the frankly bizarre. 2016's fantasy gift collection is no exception. From walking the red carpet at the Grammy Awards to his and her island cars designed by Lily Pulitzer, it offers the kind of stuff adults might dream up if they let their imaginations run wild. But how does a fantasy gift guide even get dreamed up? To find out, Virginia spoke with Ginger Reeder, VP of Corporate Communication for Neiman Marcus, where she also curates the famous Fantasy Gifts collection.
Ginger, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So this is the Christmas book's 90th anniversary. How did it begin?
Originally, it was a small gift book that was sent as a holiday greeting to good customers. And I've actually got the original one. It's like 4 inches by 3 inches. It had 78 items sketched in the Christmas book. And it was literally sent out as a holiday greeting just to remind our customers to come in and shop.
Well, this year, there's a $1.5 million Cobalt Valkyrie X airplane. Looks like an all-copper exterior. It's quite beautiful.
Yes, it's actually rose gold wrap.
Well, of course.
Why not?
What's the most expensive gift ever offered?
The most expensive gift ever offered was a $33 million Boeing business jet, and the most expensive gift ever sold was a $6.9 million Neiman Marcus Edition Bell helicopter.
Oh, well, okay. So it is called the Fantasy Gift Book.
I
wondered, do you really sell many of these items?
We typically sell about half of the fantasy gifts, and I have given up trying to predict which ones are going to sell because I've worked with them, for over 9 months or longer, sometimes longer. And so I have favorites, and I don't want to, choose favorites.
I'm not going to ask you to tip your hand, Ginger.
No, that's all right. Typically, we sell about half of them. And the idea behind the fantasy gifts was in the late 1950s, when Stanley Marcus, who was the son of the founder of Neiman Marcus, took over the company upon his father's death, he was getting phone calls from news outlets all around the world asking, what are you crazy Texans doing for Christmas? And a couple of times he had an answer, so he could say, well, there was a gentleman who bought all of the downtown store windows and had them reproduced in his living room on Christmas morning. And other times he didn't have a story like that, so he thought, we should come up with these wild, over-the-top gifts, because as we expand outside of Texas, our fame will be known for, oh yes, that's the company that also sells his and her airplanes, and we wouldn't have to spend quite so much money on advertising.
So there you go. I forget. Texas, an important element in all of this.
Yes.
But there is a kind of cheekiness in the descriptions, right? There's the for the optimist, a bracelet that brightens the future. For the pessimist, a mattress with a built-in lock box. I mean, you look at these things, it's pretty much a guide for the 1% or even the 1% of the 1%.
Well, I mean, again, it's all about fantasies. And just because, you know, we have grown up does not mean that our fantasies have necessarily changed. So, you know, when we were all children, you had that anticipation at the holiday season of, am I going to get a new bike? Am I going to get a Barbie dream house? What am I going to get? And now we've just notched them up a little bit. But certainly we are presenting these with tongue firmly planted in cheek.
Well, you're talking about things that we liked as kids, but this year's selection of fantasy gift includes a walk-on role for the Broadway musical Waitress, $30,000, a week traveling around English estates for $700,000. So it looks like you're leaning towards experiences rather than things. What led you in that direction?
Well, we've had good response to the experience, but we still offer things. But the Waitress gift, I will say, was the very first fantasy gift to sell this year. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
How do you guys even come up with them? Do you sit around and think, what are my daydreams?
Well, no, I get about 200 proposals. I've been doing this now for 20 years, so people I've worked with in the past might send me a new proposal to consider for the coming year. But I get about 200 proposals a year, some really far-fetched and some not so much. And some of them also come from our buyers who are traveling the world looking for, you know, great things to put in our stores and in the rest of the catalog. And then I narrow it down to about 30 that I present to a selection committee in early spring, and then we sort of arm wrestle to come up with the 10 that we think are the best.
But what are some of the strangest, looking back, you know, strangest or favorite gifts from the fantasy gift collection?
Certainly, my favorites are always around books. And so in 1997, we did a collection of 90 great American novels. So there were 90 of them, all first editions, and it included things like, you know, The Great Gatsby, Gone with the Wind, Charlotte's Web, and if I had had my druthers, that would have been the gift that I loved. Though I do love the Caldecott collection in this year's Christmas book.
I noticed that. Could you describe it to people?
Yes, it's 36 Caldecott Medal-winning children's books for $100,000, and they range from the very first year of the Caldecott Prize, which is 1938, all the way up to 2015. Yeah. So it's an extraordinary collection, and most of them are either first editions or early printings of a book. So obviously the one that most people are most familiar with is Make Way for Ducklings, and that one is signed, and it is a first edition.
I'm going through some. His and Her Sharpies, 1983. Double Bathtub, 1966. Authentic Mummy Cases in 1971.
Yes.
What do you think one of the strangest was in your experience?
Well, I mean, the mummy cases were certainly strange, but the very first fantasy gift that we did was a Black Angus steer that you could either order on the hoof or in steaks. And much to our consternation, we sold one to a customer in South Africa where we found that we had to pay for it to be quarantined for 6 months before it could be delivered to the customer. So.
Okay. Again, Texas, I guess we.
Yes.
So now a portion of proceeds from many of the fantasy gifts goes to a public charity that Neiman Marcus operates. Is this a shift from early years, or has a portion always
been? No. There's always been a charitable component to the fantasy gifts. And before we established our foundation, the Heart of Neiman Marcus, which supports arts education experiences for children all around the country, it would go to a different charity every year. But that's been going on for long before I started here.
Oh, so does that make the cost of a gift tax deductible?
It depends. If you're paying, for example, the Grammy gift is definitely tax deductible because it's going, the check is being written directly to the Grammy Foundation. And so that makes it tax deductible.
And that's $500,000, right?
$500,000, and $250,000 of that goes to support music education in schools.
So what does this all do, this branding, I guess, for Neiman Marcus and Neiman Marcus shoppers?
Yes, no, I mean, it is. And again, I think the original idea that Mr. Marcus had was that we could be known as a department store, a luxury department store, where you could buy a $25 lipstick or a his and her airplane. So either one.
There's a range for you.
Yeah.
Ginger, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Ginger Reeder, Vice President of Corporate Communication for Neiman Marcus, where she also curates the famous Fantasy Gifts Collection. She was speaking with Virginia Prescott. And we want to know, what's your fantasy gift? Let us know on Twitter or Facebook. And in case you need a little inspiration, we asked some of the folks on staff here at Word of Mouth to indulge a bit and describe their own fantasy gift ideas. We'll be playing them throughout the show, but here's one to get you started.
What's up, young world? I'm Jimmy Gutierrez. I'm a producer here at Word of Mouth, and my fantasy gift would be, I mean, I dream big, so maybe a 3-day work week. If not, I'd settle for a 4-day work week. You could throw in some sick days, some extra sick days. When I think about gifts, or like the big stuff in life, like if I could have anything, I'd have a house, but I wouldn't want someone to give that to me. I'm working for that. So yeah, I guess if there was something, a good gift would be if America got its act together and we had more leisure time. So let's get working by not working.